We're back with another analyst interview. Today I'm sitting down with Eric Moody from ESPN to have a chat about his journey through not only fantasy sports, but sports in general. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King, your host, at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you will find me, or X, but let's call it Twitter. I call it Twitter. Joining me today, as I said, Eric Moody. Eric, thanks for squeezing me in. I'm sure you've got a lot more to do than me at the moment, so appreciate you making some time.
No, I appreciate the invite. Yeah, it's always good to chat. And, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, we got started, it's like, you know, we always have conversations around, you know, the NBA, NFL, you know, fantasy, sports betting. But it's good to have a different kind of conversation. So I'm looking forward to it and appreciate the invite.
Yeah, and that's sort of the idea behind this, I suppose. Everyone sort of would read articles and columns and things like that by people that I have on my show. But it's good to get to know them a bit away from the screen or away from the pen or however they're writing. And so your journey, I thought, a little bit different to some of the analysts I've had on. If we go back, and I said to you off air, I've done a little bit of research, so I know a little bit of your background. So I know you have a playing background. So you played football in college, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played in college and also in high school, obviously. Was not good enough to make it to the NFL level, but still learned a lot from the collegiate experience, though.
And was that I know football over there is a massive, just it's a way of life. And so was it something you played from a very young age or something you got into a little bit later?
Yeah, it's actually something I got into like a little bit later. Like I would say my kind of my first sports love was always basketball. I remember being a very small, you know, little kid, you know, kind of watching, you know, like the Lakers in their heyday with, you know, Magic Johnson, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar towards the tail end of his career. But I really remember vividly the Chicago Bulls dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know, with Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, with those first three championships and just kind of watching those teams. But I played basketball, you know, growing up, you know, quite a bit. And I didn't play basketball in high school, but that was kind of the turning point where I ended up getting into football because I was a bigger kid. Didn't really have the basketball kind of build. And then the coaches were just like, if you ever played football, I think you'd be great at football. And it kind of started from there.
Okay. And obviously it was, I mean, playing college over there is a huge deal in itself. Like obviously only the elite of the elite of the elite make it to the NFL. So even just playing at that level means you must have had some talent there to be able to play, especially I would assume coming in a little bit later because it's not something you grew up getting used to and adjusting to. And so you would have had to do all of that, quite a quick transition, I would assume. Yeah. Once you started playing. So that's obviously where the interest comes from in terms of sport. And then you finish college and your background is financial. So you headed into working in that space. And so how did that come about? Was that always something you were interested in coming up through school and college?
Yeah, it actually wasn't. Kind of how it all came together was I started off as an English major. You know, I loved, you know, literature, you know, I love writing, you know, I love like poems. So a lot of older books, you know, things that I really kind of gravitated towards. And, you know, love like Greek mythology, you know, the Odyssey, you know, all those mythos. And so I got to the point where I was like, well, you know what? I'm like, what can I do with this English degree? You know, I could try to get into writing. I could teach. And I decided to go get into marketing. Okay. You know, one thing that kind of changed, we don't have to go too deep into it. We can if you want. But I actually sold Cutco cutlery. during the off season in college, because you know the NCAA different back then couldn't work during the school year. But I ended up taking a job selling Cutco during the summer, which I really enjoyed. I basically ended up pursuing a marketing degree, and it was with a concentration in professional sales. Then after that, they're like, well, you're a pretty good salesperson. Why don't you get into financial services? It's really all just sales anyway. You'll get the licenses and learn everything you need to know. So that's kind of how it happened, Adam. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, interesting. Because, if I think of, I guess for me, if I think of financial, I just think of numbers, which is very, like, you will have someone, their interest is language or English, the words or numbers, like they're two sort of things, but I guess that is a way that they combine. And so, you transitioned there into that financial space, and what was your role there? So like, what did that look like, and how long was that, I guess, what you did until you moved over into where you are now?
Yeah, I could definitely kind of tell that story. So whenever I started in the financial services industry, you know, since they were looking for people kind of with the sales background, and you got to take all the exams like the Series 7, Series 63, Series 66. It's a lot of different combination of licenses that you need to get depending on one aspect of the business that you were going into. So I started off working like at Merrill Lynch. You know, I would try to get appointments with people to help them with their financial planning, like in investments.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it ended up starting. And so, and I'll be candid with you, you know, hey, I'll be open here. I would say I spent about, let's see, probably close to 15 years, like in that space. You know, like I worked at Merrill Lynch, you know, I worked at Chase Bank, USAA was a company I probably spent the most of the time in my career. If you're not familiar, like with USAA, they work with a lot of military veterans, like in their families, on insurance, financial planning, investments, kind of the whole, you know, the whole nine. So a whole suite of products. And so, and again, I'll be candid here. You know, I got to the point for where, you know, I was at Merrill Lynch, I was at Chase, and I was very close to leaving the industry, where I was just like, talking to my wife about it. I was like, you know what, I'm going to make one more transition. She's like, just try this last company. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you can move on to something else. And so that's where I kind of stumbled across USAA. The irony is, Adam, is that I was at USAA. I had a lot of success there. I was there for over a decade.
Okay.
You know, I worked in a call center as an advisor. People would call in. I would learn about their financial situation, make recommendations. I even worked as like a manager, like with them as well, training other people. Cause I was always passionate about like the coaching aspect, kind of training people and mentoring them to be better in whatever they're doing. And so the reason I'm spending a lot of time on this is because that's kind of how you could build the bridge into like the sports side of things. Because back in 2015, you know, I've always loved sports, as you know, kind of I had a buddy who got me hooked into fantasy football that I met at Chase Bank, and love, you know, winning, you know, the local leagues and home leagues. And it's just like, I just want to help people. I'm kind of learning a lot of cool stuff. Let me get on the internet. Let me get on Twitter at the time. Right. And I just started kind of tweeting and commenting to people who had fantasy questions. And that kind of led to an opportunity to create content. So I ended up, you know, writing for fantasy pros like RotoViz, Dynasty League Football, Gridiron Experts, and a lot of these other companies. And that's kind of how I got into content. I'll kind of hit pause, but you want me to keep going down that rabbit hole, or should we?
Climb
out of there, my man.
No. Look, I think it's good. And I think, So 2015 is when the transition happened. So you mentioned that you were sort of at USAA for over a decade.
Yeah.
Do you think if that, and as your wife had said, that this is okay, one last company to work for, let's see what happens. If it works out, good. If it doesn't, let's try something else. Do you think if that hadn't worked out, if you'd gone into that company and hadn't enjoyed it for whatever reason, would the transition to sports, what you're doing now, would that have happened then, or would you have transitioned? I mean, it's hindsight, so it's hard to know, but do you think, or do you think the fact that you went another 10 years in that industry, then sort of you were done with it and you were okay to move, or I don't know. Would things have been different if that hadn't worked out?
Yeah, I think it could have, because I did work in like the beer, wine, and spirits industry for a short amount of time, like right out of college. It was like in a sales role, so I could have possibly gone back to that industry. But I think what happened whenever I was creating like content, I worked for a lot of places, had a chance to meet a lot of people, you know, just from writing for all these different places. You know, I would end up doing a lot of podcasts and live streams, you know, like we're doing now. You get to know people that way. And just kind of started, you know, building a name for myself and kind of like a reputation. But I think without building that groundwork for like 5 or 6 years, I wouldn't have had the opportunities, you know, that I have now. And so like in hindsight, while working at USAA, it was kind of allowing me to build like the bridge to kind of take that exit. You know, when you think about the fork in the road, right, where you can go left or you can go right. It's just the industry, the financial services industry, was going through kind of a lot of changes at that time, but also there were a lot of changes internally, like at USAA, with kind of how they were, you know, the business model that they were in and how they were doing things. And so I felt like if now's the time for me to make the transition to sports, I need to do it now. And I remember looking at a lot of numbers, right, Adam, for where it's not uncommon for someone to switch like careers kind of like at a certain age. I think the average age may have been like 37, 38 or something like that. And so it's just not uncommon, but I felt like the time was right to make that move. So that's what I ended up doing, where the opportunity with ESPN obviously came up. So,
yeah. And that's about, that's interesting, that data, because that's about exactly when I changed career, was when I was about 37. And I went from teaching and working with young kids to working with autistic kids specifically, and I'm still doing that to this day and love it. So so the transition 2015, and as you've sort of talked about, football was your sort of I guess your niche, I suppose, having had a playing or experience from inside the walls. But now writing for ESPN, you do, I know you do fantasy football, but you do basketball, WNBA as well. And so do you have a preference in terms of, because I know fantasy, a lot of the people I speak to got into fantasy basketball through fantasy football. So that seems to be an entry point, a pretty common pathway for people. Do you have a favorite? Because they're very different. I think from what I understand, I don't play fantasy football, but it's a points, a lot of it is points based. And whereas basketball has points, has a points based format, but a lot of it is, a lot of what I do is category based.
A category leagues.
Do you have a preference, or you just like fantasy sports in general?
I just really like fantasy sports, like in general. It's, you know, where you mentioned about the financial services background, like with the numbers component, what I always enjoyed was, you know, when you're trying to position like a financial plan to someone, or like a mutual fund or stock portfolio or mutual fund portfolio, it's like you're kind of taking something that they can't really touch or see and trying to take these complex concepts and explain it so they can understand. So I always kind of take that approach, like with fantasy and sports betting, you know, with all these different terms and metrics and things. But I would say, as far as if you're wondering about which one is like my favorite, I would say my favorite, which is kind of be like a cliche kind of answer, is like the NBA and NFL. It's a natural extension, like with the WNBA, just because of the basketball aspect. But what I always loved about the NFL season, you know, it's obviously popular. A lot of people are playing it. It's just a different animal to like the NBA. But what I love about the NBA is that if you're creating betting recommendations or fantasy recommendations, you name it, it's like by the time you get to the end of the season, and we just kind of recently went through this, right? Yeah. It's where you feel like, man, you know, it's just you got so used to, you know, following all the news for these players, these teams. And it's almost like you exhale, like where the season's over. It's like, man, it's done. You know, you feel like you're so connected in a way, even though like you're not literally, but just with all these teams, because you've got like an 82-game schedule and you've got the NBA postseason, right? And that's just something that the NFL, you know, they just can't replicate. They're not going to add 82 games, obviously. It's just a different aspect when you're kind of covering those two different sports. But I would say the NBA, I say it's much more, has a much more intimate feel than the NFL at times because of the number of games played. Guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and look, I've even noticed, I mean, I got into this a little bit later than you, so and not to the extent that you do it, but I would say 5-6 years. But even in that time, I've even noticed that the NBA, there used to be a NBA fantasy season, and then it was nothing. There was nothing for 3 months, two to three months, sort of from July, late July through to, I don't know, like September, mid-September.
Yeah, October,
But now, and I think this is just because there are new people coming into the space, and like for us, there's the season finishes, it's sort of straight into free agency and rumors and things like that. And then Summer League, obviously, which we're in at the moment. This year we've got the Olympics. So this is not an every year occurrence, but there's Olympics to talk about. Then there'll be a little bit of time off, but then it'll be training camps and rosters and lineups and depth charts and all that sort of stuff. And it just feels like where this used to be a bit of a hole in fantasy content, that it just doesn't exist anymore. And a lot of the bigger sites are still producing regular content. And I don't know whether that happens in fantasy football. I don't know whether once the season is done, which is usually what, early mid-February, the season finishes for NFL. And I only know that because I remember growing up, I suppose, that the Super Bowl and the Royal Rumble, the WWE Royal Rumble, were always very close together. So that's my knowledge of dates. So the off season, if we call off season for football, seems to be longer to me from an external perspective. So do you find that? Do you find that the basketball content just keeps going, whereas NFL does take a bit of a step back, or is that more of just my perception because I'm not in that football space?
Yeah, I would say both are similar in terms there's always something to write about. The one thing with the NFL is that, and sports betting has obviously helped with this, is that even when the fantasy season is over, you know, where it's like week, 17 or week 18 of the regular season, you still have DFS that takes place in the daily fantasy sports during the postseason. You still have sports betting, and that goes obviously all the way up until the time of the Super Bowl. You've got like a brief reprieve, but then you've got obviously the combine, you've got free agency. It's still content on both sides of the ledger that can be produced on those things. And so what I like about the NFL, and they're kind of smart with doing this, and the NBA tries to do this as well, is for where there's basically something to write about or to create content around for every single month of the year, even just outside of the season as well. There's always some kind of event that's taking place. Like now it's obviously training camp time for July. Then in August, you'll have the preseason. I think the NBA has kind of done that as well. You know, you got the NBA finals that ended obviously in June. Then you've got the draft, then you got the summer league, and it's a little bit of a reprieve, but then there's always something to write about or to create content around.
Yeah, and I do know that fantasy football is starting to ramp up because I'm seeing mock draft things and people doing early drafts and that sort of thing. So so I guess that's sort of your history of how you got from playing football playing basketball early age, football through college, financial into fantasy sports, moving away from fantasy sports. And this is where I would talk with some people around what is your job outside of fantasy or writing. But for you, that is your job. So you're one of the fortunate few that actually get to do this as a career. Before we move off that topic, something actually came to mind. And so I've got I'm close with a lot of fantasy analysts. And during COVID, there was a lot were laid off. So there were a lot of fantasy analysts that had to go and find work elsewhere, and obviously no one's fault, but did that impact you at all? Because you had made that transition a few years before that. Did COVID impact or make you, like, was there a time when you were a bit uncertain of whether this work would be sustainable, or was it always a fairly safe bet for you?
Yeah, for me during that time, I was still like at USAA like during that time. Like I kind of made the official transition when was it? September of 2021.
Okay.
And so I was still working like at USAA at that time, but it was still a lot of uncertainty during that time because we were all working like from remotely. You know, I was at that time kind of leading a team like remote where, you know, we would end up doing these things, Zoom meetings, right? You know, no one knew about Zoom meetings obviously during that time, but that was starting to become a thing. But I think looking at it from the fantasy side though, Adam, it was some uncertainty because like we didn't know like if there was going to be an NFL season. There was a lot of uncertainty, and I was contributing at that time to 4 for 4 and the Athletic during that time. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't know. We're like, well, until we hear something, we're still just going to kind of go about it as business as usual. So it was a lot of content around free agency, and then the draft was coming up, but really the whole in the back of our minds, like we didn't know if there was actually going to be a season. And so I was like kind of like a freelancer at that point. You know, I would get paid for the content that I created. So I was like, well, at least I'll get paid on this content that I'm creating, but who knows what it's going to look like for during the season. And then I would also do some fantasy basketball stuff, obviously, kind of during that time. Obviously not as much as I'm doing now, but still I was wondering, is there going to be an NBA season?
Yeah.
What is that going to look like? So a lot of questions while you're still kind of plowing ahead, right?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting time. So now moving away, I suppose, and let's have a look at life outside of work and fantasy. And I said, I've done my research. So I know you have two kids, married, two kids, Noah, Haley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And how old are they?
Yeah. So Haley just had her her birthday. So she just turned 9. And son Noah is 12. So.
Okay. All right. So a little bit old. A lot of the people I get on here, their kids are like 2 and 4. And so you're through those very early stages of kids. And it's my son's birthday today, actually. So he's 4. He's 14 today.
Right. Tell him I said happy birthday, right?
Yeah, he's in there doing something. I don't know, watching something on YouTube. I don't know, and my daughter just turned 17 about 3 weeks ago. So
very nice.
So mine are sort of at that age where they don't need me as much, but I mean they always will, which is good to know. But so do you like is family? I mean, it's important for everyone, but do they still sort of take up a lot of your time, and do you try to, I mean, we'll move into holiday vacation. Do you try to get away with them regularly? And if so, any favorite spots, whether it's within the United States or even outside?
Yeah, I would say it's just kind of working in this space. It's probably the busiest time of the year is obviously during the NFL season, but I mean, you've got some flexibility, you know, outside of that. And so I think having that family time is really like important. And it can even be the simple things too, just the having breakfast together, dinner together, and that's one thing for where with the United States it's different here than places I guess like Europe or other places abroad for where it's constantly on that hustle and bustle, and it's easy to get swept up into that. So I think really carving out time for like the little things like having a meal and stuff together. Having time for where there's no devices around, playing like board games or card games like Uno. I think the older that I get, those kind of moments are definitely valuable. And I always try to carve out, time for those things. I would say something else that can be a challenge for people too in this day and age is really just being present. It's easy for where you're all together to get kind of sucked into a smartphone or something that's on a tablet or something that's on TV. But I think just being present, being part of the conversation and stuff is key. As far as like with, traveling and things like that, like I do like traveling and kind of learning about different cultures and different places around the globe, even some under the radar places around the globe. Those are things that I kind of enjoy researching and learning about, outside of sports. And, and I would say one place that's definitely on my bucket list I'd love to get to, haven't had a chance to get there yet, is like Japan. I've always wanted to go to Japan. Love to spend about 2 weeks there. Already know the places that I want to go see and visit, but I've been to Venice, Rome, places in Italy, Switzerland, France, Mexico. It's still a lot of places I haven't had a chance to go to yet. So a lot of places on the travel bucket list, my friend.
Yeah, yeah, there are. And Japan, that's interesting. So my wife and my son are probably heading to Japan. She goes on and off the idea, but so they're probably going to go to Japan next year. And that's, I mean, it's somewhere that she wants to go, but my son is very, very passionate about Pokemon. So he's got a big list of places that he wants to go when he's there. So I'm going to finish with movies and TV shows. But so but before we get to that, I like to talk about food because I love food, all food. Are you a foodie? I suppose if we want to call someone a foodie, and is there a favorite dish, favorite cuisine, and is it sort of based on something you grew up having? Because I know a lot of people, it's something that was cooked for them by their mom when they were a child, or is it something you've learned to sort of like as you've gotten older?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of different things. It's one thing that I at least had a chance to experience like growing up, and I don't know if I would say the older that I get, Adam, I kind of realize it was very unique. So I'm originally from Alabama, in Mobile. You know, kind of lived like in the suburbs, like a lot of people. But what I thought was fascinating is that I had a lot of different neighbors around. Like I had a neighbor who was from like the Middle East, like from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I had some neighbors that were from like South Korea. And just, it was kind of like a big melting pot, I felt like, in a way. And so, you know, growing up, I had a chance to try, you know, kind of like Middle Eastern food, you know, like Lebanese food, you know, Chinese food, you know, Japanese food, just because a lot of the different kind of neighbors, like in the neighborhood. And so I really love Japanese food.
Yeah.
You know, love Chinese food. Really passionate about Lebanese food and like Middle Eastern food. Love it. Like baklava, you know, hummus, all that kind of stuff. Perfection, right? And so it's just a lot of different types. So I think the way I grew up kind of influenced that. And I think it may even kind of fueled my kind of desire just to kind of learn about other places like around the globe. I'll kind of leave you with this, and I know you probably have some other things you want to talk about or ask, but I was very close to like when I graduated college, I was very close to moving to the United Kingdom. Very close to doing it. Just to experience something like a little bit different. So
yeah.
I didn't end up making the move, but like in hindsight, I'm thinking, you're like, what if? What would have happened if I would have decided just to do that? And you know, you're young and you don't really have like, you're like, hey, why don't I just go try it out for a couple of years, see what happens, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You don't think about consequences as much when you're
exactly when you're
young. But so you have been to the UK though?
I have not. Yeah.
Oh, you
I have
not. Haven't been there.
Yeah. Okay. That's one that's on my list as well. So
yeah, look, it's we've been there. My mother was born there, so we've been there and visited family and that sort of thing. And then my wife's got family in Holland, so her mum is from Holland. So
lovely country.
So we've been over there, and yeah, look, it would certainly be a change of pace. I would say that. And I haven't seen a huge cross section of America, but knowing and as you even alluded to there, it's very it's not chaotic, but it's busy. It's all happening. There's always things happening, and it's easy to lose yourself. I feel like if you had gone to the UK, you'd see the opposite in some respects. It's a little bit quieter, depending where you are, of course. And then, if you ever come to Australia, pretty laid back here. It's pretty, I mean, we're very spaced out, so it's easy to just get away and be close to nothing if that's what you want to do.
You're right.
So finishing up on movies and TV shows, and reason I wanted to do this last is because I obviously follow you on Twitter, and I know recently you popped up a video clip and you said, anyone who knows this what this clip is from, we can be friends. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So it was from The Running Man.
Yes.
They're talking about the reboot at the moment, which I'm not convinced.
Please no.
I hope not. So why I found that interesting, so I've got a group of friends here that I went to school with, and we love Arnold Schwarzenegger. So we love all his movies. We know all of them off by heart. Two of my friends in particular can do very good impersonations of Arnie. And so we, not as much anymore because a few of them have got younger kids, but we often get together for what we call an Arnie night. And so that's where we'll just watch three or four Arnold Schwarzenegger movies back to back to back to back. And there's a drinking element to it. So every time he says a one-liner, you have to have a drink.
Love it.
So anyway, you can imagine what happens by the end of the second movie or third movie.
Yes.
And so I was just wondering, is Running Man a movie that you sort of love specifically, or do you like Arnold Schwarzenegger? And if so, is Running Man your favorite of his movies, or do you have another favorite?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about my mindset whenever I posted that. Yeah, I just remember, you know, I probably had no business watching some of these movies when growing up, but you know how it was back then. You know, you have HBO and late at night, ooh, let me watch this. I just remember watching that movie, you know, growing up. And a lot of people think about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, you know, the Running Man rarely comes up. You know, you think of Terminator 2, you think of Predator, you know, Kindergarten Cop, you know, but he's been in so many movies, you know, some that are more successful than others. And so that's what kind of just led to that post. I'm thinking, you know, the real ones are going to know what this, you know, what this movie's from. And I did get some interesting replies on that.
Yes. But, you did.
Probably my favorite Schwarzenegger movie is Predator. That's always just been my favorite one.
Yeah.
Just still enjoy watching. I watched it recently, probably like a month or so ago, because it was around the time where it I think it premiered, you know, X amount of years ago. So, you know, love those 80s kind of action movies. Definitely an era I don't know if we'll ever kind of see again, but it was definitely a good time. So
yeah. Yeah, and I think we watched it. We all got together and watched it when Carl Weathers passed. We're going to watch Predator. So it's often in our rotation. Commando is often another in our rotation. Gem. And yeah, so I just thought that was interesting that popped up. And then so I guess if we're looking at movies more broadly, have you got any specific, it's a tough question and it's one that I can't answer, but do you have any favorite movies? And I know you like action, adventure. I did read something on your sort of bio website page, but any favorite movies that stick out?
Yeah, you know, there's so many. Like you said, it is a difficult question to answer. But I would say, like, you know, I love, you know, those kind of action adventure movies, especially from the 80s and 90s. You know, comedies, drama, love science fiction. I would say, and we could talk about movies for so long. It's I would say if I weren't doing the football or sports thing, I could easily see myself where having an account on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, or even like a YouTube channel, just kind of doing movie reviews and talking about, you know, cinema. Yeah. But it is one movie that comes to mind. Like, you know, you may have some people that'll talk about The Godfather Part Two. All excellent movies. But for me, I'm like, one that really resonated a lot was like the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. I know it's one of those movies where upon release, it wasn't really like a box office juggernaut, but it's really gotten a lot of accolades, obviously, since it's been released. And a lot of people will recognize it as one of the, you know, greatest movies ever. Mm. What I really loved about it was like the story of, I guess, of hope and friendship and just really dire circumstances. You know, Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman were phenomenal, you know, in that movie. And I think it's ironic that you know, the character of Red was like an Irishman, I think, in Stephen King's novella. But then they just decided, hey, we're gonna kind of change it. You know, I know it's the thing where, you know, if you race bend the character, but, you know, I felt like that was a perfect example of when to do it, because that dynamic, like with Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins, was you know, phenomenal. And I think the movie does a good job, even for the time frame where it's set, of like showing like the, I guess, the difficult or tough realities of prison life, but while also like highlighting that kind of unbreakable human spirit. I'm like, you know, if that doesn't pull on your heartstrings, nothing will. You know, love the script. The director, Frank Darabont, did a really great job, like, on the film. I just think it's like a timeless message of redemption. You know, perseverance. And it's something I keep coming back to. I tell you, anytime that thing is on TV, if I see it like on anything, like I'm going to lose like 3 hours of my day because I'm going to watch it from wherever I pick it up on. So
yeah,
hopefully that answers your question. I just want to kind of answer it, but then kind of give some context behind it.
Yeah, no, it does. It actually, I spoke to who was my last, whoever I did my last interview with, I've lost track a bit, but one of their favorite movies was also Shawshank Redemption, and it's one of mine. And it was interesting because, as you said, it didn't garner success as you would sort of you look at a lot of these box office hits and the money and all of that sort of stuff. And it wasn't, and I think, I don't know if part of that was the era that it came out in, because another movie that came out a similar time was Forrest Gump, and it also didn't do super well at the movies. I remember going as a child to the movies. We were on a basketball trip, so we were away, and the coaches took us to the cinema, and they said, okay, these movies are on. Pick what you want to watch. And I think my dad, because my dad was there because he was one of our coaches, and so he picked Forrest Gump. And all of us kids, we picked Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Ron Silver, I think. And
looking back, why would – like there's no comparison. Forrest Gump is clear. But just at the age we were at, and we'd say Van Damme was a big sort of star.
Yes.
And so I don't know whether that was just the time, the era where those movies weren't marketed as well, or I don't know what it was. But, I love that movie. And then throwing in a bit of a football reference, probably my favorite sporting movie of all time, which you sort of mentioned, The Human Spirit, is Rudy. And I'm assuming you've seen Rudy.
Absolutely.
So
everyone's seen that movie.
I hope they have. That's probably one of my favorite sporting movies. Even though I know very little about football, you don't need to know about football to enjoy that movie.
Because it's
about football, but it's about more than that. And and then probably more recently, one of my favorite sporting movies was Draft Day with Kevin Costner in it. And I would love for them to make an NBA version of that, because they never will. It'll never happen. But it's a movie that usually around October every year just enters my rotation, because I'm in draft season, I'm in draft mode. And I just love the concept of that movie, of behind the scenes of what it looks like as running a football organization and drafting and making trades and pick swaps and all sorts of things. I think it's such an interesting time, and we see it like we hear rumors like Shams and Woes, they break news, and so we see the front facing sort of world of what it looks like during that process. But I would love to be behind the scenes of the time, the weeks leading up to draft day, and what it looks like. And
I'm with you
and
there.
You may, I don't know whether that is something that you've been lucky enough to see a little bit sort of behind the curtain, I suppose, when it comes to that process.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually haven't, but it's just got so much to unpack there. I'm like, I have not seen draft day. Everyone's telling me I need to see it, but I was even thinking about even other movies from like the early 90s, kind of like even like a Blue Chips, like Nick Nolte and Shaq and then Anthony Hardaway, where you kind of get to see the behind the scenes of like college. But as far as like with breaking news and stuff like that, I have no idea what that process looks like. I think it will be fun to be a like an NBA insider or a NFL insider. I'd love to be able to break news like that. But I will tell you one thing: where we were doing the fantasy football marathon up in Bristol, since I've joined the company, and I've at least had the pleasure of participating in that like each year. You know, we'll be doing it again for this year. Is that just remember where was some news going down and give you a little funny stories for where. I remember, Adam Schefter was participating in the mock draft, in the show, and I just felt like something was up, because I was talking to him for a second, catching up, and then he's like, oh, just give me 1 second, I got to take this, and so he was like looking at his phone, he stepped over to the side, he kind of had like a conversation, and he's looking at his phone, he was like texting like feverishly on his phone, right, then he kind of like comes back and is like. We're like, well, what happened? And then he kind of says whatever news was like about to break.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And so we're like trying to like adjust on the show because like, all right, we're gonna have a comment. We're gonna have to talk about this like in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I can just imagine how it is with his world where phone's probably ringing off the hook. Mm. He's got text messages and things that are you know, that are coming in. But it brings up an interesting point. You know, I'd love to and I've thought about it, you know, whether it's reporting like on a certain team and kind of building those relationships.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. That would be a very fun aspect of the job. I think it's something I would be good at just given like my background, but
yeah,
that's kind of not the type of role that I have, but it is intriguing just thinking about it.
It is. It's sort of the side that not many are lucky enough to see. So mm-hmm. it would be, yeah. And then one question, which it came to mind when you mentioned that you loved 80s movies, 90s movies. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new Beverly Hills Cop?
Haven't seen that yet. Yeah, it's on my my watch list for Amazon. But I also have like Cobra Kai, that season 6 there too. So yeah. I've got a lot of stuff to watch at least before the football season starts. But it's just been it's been kind of busy with as you know, like with NBA, like with free agency and writing stuff for that, and also some WNBA stuff too. So I got some catching up to do. Have you had a chance to watch it yet?
I have. Yeah. Group of friends, the same group of friends that like Arnold Schwarzenegger. We loved all the Beverly Hills Cop and we love Eddie Murphy. So it popped up the day it came out and it said it's released today. And I was, I'm always sort of 50-50, like, is this going to be done well? It's been so long.
These legacy sequels, right?
Yeah. And some are really good. Some fail miserably. So I just thought, hey, look, I'm going to give it a look. It was late at night and pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
From the moment it sort of started, it was pretty clear that they hadn't really tried to reinvent the wheel. It had a real 80s feel to it. The music, obviously, it's not set in the 80s, but it had that feel. So it was just like they took what worked in the 80s and just replicated it.
Oh,
so I actually thought it was quite well done. They didn't overthink it and try to modernize it too much. They just knew what worked and did the same thing. So, if you do get around to watching it, I enjoyed it. So, all right, I'm going to let you head out. Where can people find you? What have you got on the radar for, well, fantasy basketball eventually, but fantasy football more so at the moment?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, everyone, if you're on X or really any social media platform, I'm more active on X, you know, just follow me at Eric N. Moody. So kind of talked about a lot of the things that I cover, you know, NFL, NBA, WNBA, fantasy sports betting. You know, if you like 1980s, 1990s nostalgia, you know, always have a dash of that as well. But I would say probably the biggest thing going on right now, just for the summer, is doing a lot of fantasy football mock drafts. We'll have a lot of content coming out around these mock drafts because it is a unit. We've got about 10 of us where we're doing the floor is 40 drafts. Mm-hmm. We may end up doing more than that. And the goal is really just to kind of look at players that we're drafting often in these drafts and these leagues, and to see kind of what draft spot we prefer to pick from, you know, than others. So there'll be a lot of content revolving around that. I'll have something on top 10 running back insurance rankings that'll be coming out here shortly, and a lot of content coming out in August. Well, I'm saying February. Mm-hmm. And on the NBA front, it's, you know, we'll kind of get ramped up. You know, we'll get projections and stuff together for the upcoming NBA season. And I know I'll do a lot with the player profiles. You know, if you're playing ESPN, fantasy basketball on the platform, you click on those player cards, a lot of those write-ups, you know, I put those write-ups together. So it'll be busy with getting ready for that and then the other content that comes with it. But I'll kind of leave you with this. I just know it's a lot that's going on. It's, but yeah, if you have any questions or trying to get an opinion on something, hey, just tweet me or send me a post. I'll most likely respond. That's one thing I pride myself on. So,
you've always responded to me. So no, it's if you do have any questions or anything, whether it's fantasy football or 80s movies or whatever it is, hit Eric up. Thanks again for making the time to come on the show with me today. I really appreciate it. Remember, like, subscribe to our channel if you have 30 seconds to do so. It helps us build our brand. Head over to our Discord server if you wanted to be part of our draft-only leagues. We're already rolling out leagues for next season, despite the fact that there are still a few players whose future is still a little bit unknown. We'll run out leagues and get some data going. So thanks, everyone, for watching. I'll be back with another interview very soon. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.